We do welcome each one in the Saviour's name, and we pray that the Lord will bless us and the Lord will be with us as we're in his house this morning. And to those online as well, we welcome you, and we pray that the Lord will bless you as you're tuning in to our service. Do remember the announcements both for today and for the incoming week. We remind you that it is the second Sunday of the month, and so it is the Building Fund Sunday. And if you have any gifts towards that, then please do leave them in throughout this day. The evening service at 7 p.m. is of course preceded by the time of prayer at 6:30. And tonight, as we focus upon the Lord's resurrection, we will have our men's choir singing as well, two pieces. And so do make that effort to come back again this evening and to be in our gathering as the men will take part and also as we will preach. We remind the young people as well that there is a youth rally tonight over Knocknacloy, and I believe Mr. Jonathan Story, one of the licentiates of our denomination, will be speaking at that service. Then on Monday evening, we do remind you of the Easter Convention as it continues. It's the final meeting of that weekend. It's been a good weekend. And if you haven't been able to get up yet, then we certainly encourage you, if you can at all, go along tomorrow night and be part of that Easter Convention. It's always a blessed time of fellowship. And it's lovely to meet up with God's people, meet up with friends, meet up with family, to meet new people as well. And of course, to come around to things of God. And so do make that effort if you can tomorrow night at 7 p.m. There is a children's club as well on during the service for those children in primary school age. And if you can go along, then certainly you'll be blessed as you join together with God's people. But that also does mark the end of our children's meetings for another season. We had our party last Monday night. And we do want to just publicly thank all of our children's workers for all of the effort that they put in throughout the year. It certainly is great to see the giving of their time week by week to undertake for those children, and we do thank you for that work that is done. Then can we remind you again, on Wednesday through to Friday evening, at each night at 8 p.m. we will have seasons of prayer every night for an hour from 8 until 9 with our gospel mission commencing next Sunday. And so if you can come along Wednesday, Thursday and Friday night and meet with us for those times of prayer, then we certainly encourage you. And we encourage young people as well. We'd love to see more of our youth gathering aside and seeing the importance in the place of prayer and giving themselves to prayer and publicly praying. It's always lovely to hear young people pray. And we'd love to see that even in these nights to come. We do also mention to you that Wednesday and Thursday in particular of this week, there'll be some outreach done. One of the licentiates, again, Jonathan Story, has been asked by the session. We're bringing him down to give him a bit of experience. And he's going to be helping us going round the doors and knocking the doors and giving invites in, both to the three villages and also to the surrounding area. And so if you'd like, if you're free either Wednesday, Thursday or Friday, you'd like to give of your time as well and come along with us, then please do mention to me at the door. We'd be glad to have you even in that work. Then the service is next Sunday. The Sabbath school's back on again after the Easter week's break. And the Sabbath school's on at 10:30. And then the service is 11:30 and then 3:30. And I'll be here in the will of the Lord in the morning time to conduct that service. The season of prayer, of course, at 11 a.m. And then our gospel mission commences next Sunday afternoon. It'll be at 3:30 in the Sundays. And then it'll be at 8 p.m. Monday through to Friday. And with the afternoon services, that means there'll be no evening service for the next 3 weeks going forward. And the Reverend Thomas Martin will be the guest evangelist for the vast majority of the missioners. Just two nights he can't come, but the rest of the time he will be here to minister in God's word on the Sundays and then Monday through to Friday. And as we mentioned, there are the little leaflets in the front porch, if you can make use of them. And as I said, we are planning to do the three villages, 6 Mile Cross, Berra, Seskenoor, and then we're planning to do the roads around about as well. But if you have other friends or other family and you can make use of these cards, inviting and encouraging people, then please do avail of those cards that are in the front porch. And as we've mentioned in the past, let me encourage you, be an Andrew. Be those that bring people to the Lord, that bring people with that desire. Maybe you're not a preacher. Well, Andrew's not known for his preaching in the scripture, But everyone that came to the Lord, quite often they came through Andrew. Andrew was the one who went and got them and brought them to the Lord Jesus. And so be an Andrew even over these weeks. Invite, encourage, go and knock the doors. And speak to your friends, speak to your family. And seek to bring them under the sound of God's precious word. We do mention to you there's only 5 of these books left. 15 have already gone. We have 5 remaining. Lewis, Land of Light and of Life. And the Reverend David Linden has republished this book. As I said last week, it's only £2. So it's cheaper than chips. And when they're gone, as they said, they're gone. So if there's 5 left, if you want one, please put your name down this morning or again this evening if there's any left by then. And we have them here in the pulpit. We'll get them to you for your own benefit. Can we mention to you as well, on behalf of the Slavic Gospel Association, they have a new leaflet out bringing you up to date of the work in Eastern Europe. The SGA was one of the Christian charities and organizations that our mission board helped whenever the Ukraine war began. Faith and Action, Slavic Gospel Association, and the convener of it, the director, Mr. Derek Maxwell, contacted me and sent us through some leaflets. There are 30 of these in the front porch. Please do take them with you and even bring yourself up to date on how the work is going in Eastern Europe. We mentioned to you as well that this Friday evening in our Bullamunny congregation, there is an anniversary meeting marking the 50th anniversary of Let the Bible Speak. And it began 50 years ago under the oversight of Dr. Alan Cairns. And we thank God for how it has prospered. It began with one little radio broadcast in the Isle of Man. And from those days, it has spread right across the world. And the Lord even saw fit to use it in Asia and bring into place the Free Presbyterian Church in Nepal. And we do thank God for the 50 years of the radio ministry. Now, we don't want you going to that meeting because we need you here praying. But we do want you to watch in at a later time. Bullamunny Church has the online facilities. They'll be live casting and webcasting it. And it'll be there on Facebook and sermon audio afterwards. Please do watch it afterwards. Be blessed and encouraged, even with how the Lord has blessed that work. But as I said, we'd love you to be here Wednesday, Thursday and Friday in our own church praying for the mission. One final announcement. Do remember one of our young people, Jessica Cuthbertson, is spending her Easter time in Lithuania. She's going out with Serve Youth to conduct some children's missions. And do pray for Jessica. She'll be leaving tomorrow evening. And she'll be spending the next number of days over in Lithuania. Pray that the Lord's hand will be upon her and the group that are going, and that the Lord will bless and use her and use that team even to see those children that are seeking to evangelize one for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to turn now in our hymn books to the paraphrase 44. The paraphrase 44, and it's found on the page 161. Behold the Savior on the cross, a spectacle of woe. See from his agonizing wounds the blood incessant flow. Paraphrase 44. We'll stand as we sing, please. Let's just still ourselves in God's presence. Seek his face this morning. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy most holy presence with praise, with thanksgiving in our hearts. We bow before a living and a true God, and we rejoice in this. We rejoice that Jesus is alive. We do thank and praise thee for the death of Christ upon the cross. We thank thee for the shedding of the blood. We thank thee, O God, that without the shedding of blood there can be no remission of sins. But we thank thee that Jesus shed his blood. He's made full atonement for our sins. We thank thee, O God, even for that cry, it is finished. We rejoice that the work was complete. Scriptures fulfilled. And the Lord therefore could die upon that cross. But we thank and praise thee that though he died on the Friday, he did not remain dead. We thank thee for the Sunday morning. We thank thee, O God, for that glorious truth. That even as the angels prophesied and as they brought forth that glad tidings, why seek ye the living amongst the dead? He's not here, for he is risen. Lord, even the invitation that was given to come to inspect the tomb, to come to see where they had laid him, to see the grave clothes even lying there upon that stone. And yet, O God, today he lives and he lives forevermore. We thank thee for the ascension of Christ. We thank thee for his seating even at thy right hand, having presented his body and his blood in the Holy of Holies for us. We thank thee now for the work of intercession. We thank thee that he is King. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's far exalted above all. And Father, we bow before him. We worship and we praise. O God, we thank thee for the confidence, for the hope it gives us as thy people, that Christ has been victorious, that Christ now is victorious, and never will any remove him from his throne. Never will any take away our Saviour and thy dear Son. And Father, we come rejoicing. And Father, we thank thee for this particular time of the year that causes us, O God, afresh to lift up our hearts in adoration and in praise, to give all of the honour and the glory even unto our God in heaven. Father, we thank thee for salvation. We acknowledge, O God, we fell in Adam. We acknowledge we sinned in him. We acknowledge the curse, therefore, that was upon us. And yet, Father, we thank thee this day for that covenant of grace. We thank thee for that promise that was given even to Adam. O God, there in the garden all of those years ago, the plan of redemption was already in place. That Christ would come forth. That he would be that perfect man. And though it may bruise his heel, yet we thank thee, O God, for the serpent's head that was crushed. We thank thee for the full victory, even off the cross. And Father, may we ever live, even in that realization, may ever think, even in our life, O God, be focused and be fixed upon that glorious truth that though Christ died for our sins, that he rose for our justification. Lord, when we look upon the world, may we look through the lens of a resurrected Christ. When we look upon our land and we see the sin in it, may we ever have upon our hearts and upon our minds the glorious truth that Jesus is reigning and ruling even over the world. And Father, we pray that thou wilt bless us today. Bless us in thy house. Bless us, O God, as we worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank thee for each one that is here. We thank thee, O God, for another week in which we can testify that the Lord has been faithful. The Lord has been good unto us. The Lord has blessed us. The Lord has watched over our going outs and our coming ins. And Father, now as we look into a new week, we pray again for the blessing of God to be upon us. We think of the busyness of the week to come. We think, O God, of the plans for this church and for the work even in it. We pray that thou wilt bless in this week. We think of the outreach for our mission. O Father, give us good reception even in the doors. Prepare hearts, soften hearts, O God, towards the gospel. Give men and women a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. And even as the doors are knocked, as invitations are given, Oh, Father, may they not simply be discarded or rejected, but rather that they will be received. And the Spirit of God will put in the minds and in the hearts of individuals to come and to hear the glad tidings of great joy, to come and to hear the good news of the gospel. Oh, Father, bless as well in the nights of prayer. Oh, that thou wilt pour out thy Spirit upon us in this week. That thou wilt give us nights of great moves of God, even in that place. Oh, God, as we meet around the throne, that we will know the presence of God, that we will know the power of God, that we will know that burden even to cry unto thee, that we will not sit in that stony silence, O God, but our hearts will be broke, even for sinners on their way to hell. Lord, give us special nights, and then as the mission commences, oh, for the blessing of God to fall, oh, for the windows of heaven to be opened, oh, for the showers to pour out upon this dry and this thirsty land. Lord, bless thy servant. Prepare him, O God, to come amongst us. Empty him of self and of sin, and fill him with thy Spirit. And, O God, may we look upon this month of April as a blessed month when God visited this area, when God moved, and precious souls were saved. Lord, do us good today in thy house. Watch over us, we pray thee. Guard us with the precious blood around about us. Keep the devil out of this meeting. Keep the distractions away, O God. And give us a desire even to hear thy word. Settle our minds and our hearts. And Father, we pray that this day that Christ will be uplifted, Christ will be glorified. O Father, undertake for us. Remember each one. Remember every family. Lord, bless our young people. Bless our children. Bless our elder ones as well. Lord, just keep thy hand upon each one. We remember Jessica and that team as they will go. Lord, bless them as they go to Lithuania tomorrow night. Take them in safety. Use them, O God. And we pray even for souls to be saved through those mission efforts that take place. Lord, hear and answer prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. 116 is our second hymn this morning. The hymn 116, the page is 223. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Saviour, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. 116 again, we'll stand as we sing, please. continue to read together from the book of Proverbs in the chapter 14. Book of Proverbs in the chapter 14, we'll read the opening half of this chapter together. Proverbs 14 in the verse 1, the word of God says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but there at the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and the good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts for his own name's sake. We're going to sing together the hymn 120 as we lift our tithes and offerings this morning. The hymn 120, the page is 224, "Thine be the glory. Risen, conquering Son, endless is the victory, now or death has won." Let's remain seated, please, for the first part of the hymn. Turn again this morning to the book of Song of Solomon in the chapter number 3. Song of Solomon in the chapter 3. I want to read just the final number of verses together, the second half of this chapter. Song of Solomon, the chapter 3, and we'll commence at the verse 6. Begins with the question, who is this that cometh out of the darkness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold, King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. As we look at these verses this morning, we simply entitle the message, Behold the King. Behold the King. Let's just ask the Lord to speak to us and to minister to all of our hearts. Father, in heaven we come afresh before thee with thy word open. We thank thee for this book that we have been able to study together. We thank thee, O God, in every page and every verse we have been able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for that again today. We pray that as we spend these moments together now around thy word, that we will see Christ, that he will be lifted high above all. It's not simply looking at a minister or listening to a minister, but that we will see Jesus, that we will hear his voice, that thou wilt speak to all of our hearts. Father, thou knowest the needs that are before us. Search the heart, we pray thee, and show each one, O God, myself included, if there be any wicked way. O God, and lead us ever after thee. Draw each one of thy children closer to thee. Bring the backslider out of that bypath meadow. Bring the ungodly out of the broad way and into the narrow way, we pray thee. In Jesus' name, amen. This particular section, we come this morning to consider the first part of the book in which neither the bride nor the bridegroom are speaking. We're coming this morning to a wedding procession. That procession is taking place and all of Jerusalem is watching it. They've all gathered along the sidewalks, as it were, along the pavements. They've gathered along the streets to watch as the bride and the groom will make their way through the city. The speakers of this particular part are the daughters of Jerusalem themselves. It's as if we're in the middle of the crowd. And as Solomon and his bride are walking their way through the streets, we are in the crowd and we are listening to a conversation that is taking place amongst the women that are gathered and watching this wonderful event. The first person that captures their attention is the bride. You see in the verse 6, the question is asked, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke? They're perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all of the powders of the merchant. The appearance of this bride is enough for the daughters of Jerusalem to stop and to take notice. And you see, they do not speak of her physical appearance. They're not talking about her skin. They're not talking about her hair. They're not talking about her looks. But rather, they're talking about that which is upon her. They emphasize the pillars of smoke. They emphasize the perfumes. They emphasize the myrrh and the frankincense. You'll remember from previous chapters that the bride had described herself as black but comely. Her skin had been darkened with the sun. All of those hours and those days that she had spent outside tending to the vineyard had darkened her complexion, had darkened and dried up her skin. She did not see anything attractive about her physical appearance. She's weather-beaten. And her attractiveness is not in herself, but rather her attractiveness is in what has been added to her. The myrrh, the frankincense, the powders of the merchant. It's a wonderful picture of the church of Christ. It began with the question, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? How many of us that are saved, all of us that are saved, testify of the same thing. God brought us out of the wilderness of sin. We were in the barren country. We were lost in the deserts of sin. God brought us out of that wilderness and brought us out as his bride. The myrrh, the frankincense here speaks of the sacrifice and the death of Christ. It speaks of how even the myrrh, the frankincense, was added even to the body of Christ. There were those perfumes, there were those implements, as it were, that were brought in and wrapped into the body of Christ as it was laid in the tomb. The powders of the merchant are speaking to us of the graces and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That which is added to the church, that which is added to the Christian, that which is bestowed upon us by the Spirit for Christ. That's what sets us apart. That's what caused this bride to stand out from the crowd. That's what caused the daughters of Jerusalem to sit up and to take notice. It was not, my, look how long her hair is, or look at her eyes, or look at her face. No, nothing like that. It was, look at the frankincense. Look at the smells, the aromas that are coming off her. The great pillars of smoke. Listen, smell the powders of the merchant. It is Christ. It is his death and his resurrection. It is his Holy Spirit and the working of the Spirit within the believer. That's what sets us apart from the world. We are a peculiar people. We're a royal priesthood. We're the holy generation. Why? Because of what Christ has done in us. What the Spirit works in us. It's the cross of Christ that we cling to, isn't it? We don't preach any other message. We preach a crucified Christ. We depend upon his blood. And by the Spirit of God, we're changed. No longer simply do we conform to the world. No longer do we follow the crowd and the broad road. But rather now we're set apart. We're transformed even by the renewing of our minds, as Romans 12 and 2 tells us. The attention immediately was given to the bride, but then we see that it's moved off the bride. It comes to the bridegroom. Three verses here where the bridegroom is mentioned by name. Verse 7, verse 9, verse 11. It's Solomon. King Solomon's upon his bed. King Solomon has made his bed. King Solomon, go forth, even to verse 11, ye daughters, behold King Solomon. These verses are not simply about the physical king of Israel. If all we were doing this morning was considering a dead king, what benefit would that be? Solomon is a great type of Christ in the Old Testament. Christ himself will say in the New Testament, Matthew 12, 42, a greater than Solomon is here. Solomon is a type of Christ. Both were sons of David. Both are kings of peace. Solomon was a type of Christ in terms of his wisdom, in terms of his wealth, in terms of his greatness, in terms of his peacefulness, in terms also of building the temple. All points us to Christ. And so in the time remaining this morning, I want us simply to behold the king Even as it says in verse 11, behold King Solomon with the crown. I want us to behold our King. Three things I want to leave with you. Firstly, I want you to see he is a resting king. He is a resting king. Verse 7 says, behold his bed, which is Solomon's. Verse 9 tells us King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. The word for chariot here in the verse 9 is really speaking of a palanquin. Maybe for some of the younger, you've never heard of a palanquin before. Maybe some of the older have never heard of a palanquin before. A palanquin was one of those grand boxes or litters that the wealthy, the kings, would lie upon, and the poles would go down either side of it. And so they would be lifted upon these boxes or upon these beds, and men at the front and at the back would carry them along. It was a great statement of the grandeur of the individual that lay upon it. And so the greater the palanquin, the more gold, the more finery that would be about it, the grander the scheme, and even the more men that would be down either side, at the front and at the back. The importance of this mode of transport was what it signified. Here was a king lying upon a bed or upon a couch. He's resting. It's not how a king of war would move. A king at war would be dressed in his armor. He would be upon either a great horse or a great chariot. He would be standing with all of the armor upon his body and all of the soldiers around about him with all of the banners for war. But the king's resting. This was a king in a time of peace. His work's finished. His victory's assured. The enemies are defeated. There's nothing to separate the bridegroom from his bride. The bride and the bridegroom are together. They're at peace together. They're upon this couch together as they're coming in out of the wilderness. The bride is with her bridegroom. Hebrews 10, verse 12, it says, this man, speaking of Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 13, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The work of Christ was a one-time sacrifice. Then it's finished. Victory's assured. That's a great joy we have at this time of year. It's a great joy we have this morning, Easter Sunday morning. Christ is won. Victory is complete. Christ is alive. The tomb is empty. The full atonement was made. The wrath of God was appeased. Scripture was fulfilled. And it's upon that basis, therefore, that the Spirit of God raised up Christ. If he was not victorious, he would still be dead. If the Father was not satisfied, he would still be dead. If the work was not complete, he would still be dead. But Christ is risen. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's at rest in terms of his sacrificial work. Never again will he be hanging upon a tree. Never again will he shed his blood. Never again will he endure the wrath. Never again will he be humiliated by the crowd and suffer our shame. He's done it all. You think of the words of verse 7 and verse 8. He's there upon his bed, upon that palanquin. And yet the end of verse 8 tells us that the men standing round about him have fear of night. The king is resting in spite of the fact there is still night. You apply that to the world here on earth, it's very easy to say it's nighttime. Darkness of sin is all around us. The depravity of man is all around us. Wickedness is prevailing upon this earth. It's abounding on every side. And yet our king is resting. Within the reins of this darkness, there are hostile forces, there are principalities, there are powers. There are angels of darkness, there is a prince of the power of the air. That's why the 60 men are round about. All armed with swords, all experts of war. Those men are a picture of ministers. The swords are the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. C.H. Spurgeon, writing of this passage, he says, "Our gracious God has been pleased to commit unto men the ministry of Christ. The Lord ordaineth the chosen men. That chosen men should be protectors of his church. Not that they have any power of themselves to do anything, but he girdeth the weak with strength. He maketh the feeble mighty. So then men, even the sons of men, stand in array to guard both the bridegroom and the bride." And so you have these 60 valiant men. They're all standing around. They've all of their swords upon their side. They're all the men of war. And you apply that to the church today. The ministers are standing with the Word of God. They're armed and they're ready for the battle against the darkness. And yet in the midst of it, here's a king. And he's resting. He has no fear. He's no reason to rise and to fight. For the salvation which he has already purchased can never be taken away. The Lord did say unto my Lord, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." The command was given by the Father to the Son. Your work is done. Be seated. And every enemy will be slid under your feet. No danger. He is a resting king. But then secondly, I see the verses 9 and 10. He is a resplendent king. He is a resplendent king. It tells us King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. Made the pillars thereof of silver. The bottom was of gold. The covering is purple. The midst is paved with love. You know, certainly as you consider the description, as you seek to paint the picture in your mind and to imagine what it must have looked like, it's pure splendor. It's a majestic, it's a regal picture that's before us. The bride and the bridegroom are united together upon this palanquin. They're in communion with one another. You can just imagine as a bride and bridegroom are, and maybe after the wedding ceremony and they're driving off in their car to the reception, they're together and there's joy in that car and they're just talking one with the other, and all of the talking is about how lovely it is to be married and what a wonderful service, or all of the excitement of the day and who was there and all of those things, and they're together and no one can separate them. And the bride and bridegroom are enjoying the communion. Daughters of Jerusalem, even though their minds, their eyes are upon the bride and the bridegroom, but they pause a moment just to consider what's round about them. They stop just to look at the chariot. It begins by telling us it's a chariot of wood, of the wood of Lebanon. And the chariot itself speaks to us of the gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He unites the bridegroom and the bride together. It is the gospel that brings us into that union, that fellowship with Christ, that enables us to be married to him. And the fact it's made of the wood of Lebanon is very special, because the wood of Lebanon is the greatest wood in all of the world. You want the strongest, the most durable, the most permanent wood, you get the Lebanese wood. The great aroma comes off that wood. And you want the sturdy, you want the strength, you want the incorruptible, you go to the wood of Lebanon. What a picture that is of the gospel. The gospel is durable to right to the end. The gospel will never decay. The gospel cannot rot or will never be ruined. That which binds us to Christ, that which brings us, that we are united to Christ, will never cease and will never stop. The gospel right from the days of Adam in the Garden of Eden right to this very day is the same gospel with the same power. Still takes a guilty, hell-deserving sinner, one who's blinded with sin and shackled by the devil, and still frees him and makes him to see. Still can bring them from death to life. The chariot's made of wood. The pillars are made of silver. Pillars of silver speak to us of the attributes of Christ, the attributes of God. You have the attribute of, or you have the pillar of his everlasting love. You have the pillar of his omnipotent power. You have the pillar of his justice. You have the pillar of his immutability, the fact that God will never change. That God is the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. The God of the past of the Old Testament. The God of the New Testament. The God of this common era in which we live. The day in which we live. The God is still the same. His truth is still the same. You have the floor of gold it speaks about. The floor of gold speaks of his divine and his holy nature. You notice that upon the holiness, the pillars are built up. That's a reality with God. Every attribute that you care to mention of God is based upon his holiness. Without the holiness of God, you have no foundation. R.C. Sproul, he said this, holiness is not just an attribute, it is God's very essence. In other words, everything about God is holy. We've looked at it before. You think of that time in Isaiah 6, and the only attribute that's ever mentioned by the angels in heaven, holy, holy, holy. The wrath of God is based in his holiness. The justice of God is based in his holiness. The love of God is based in his holiness. The mercy of God, the compassion of God, the grace of God, whichever attribute you care to mention, they're all coming from the base, the foundation, that God is holy. And then you come to the purple covering. Purple, of course, is the royal color. Here we're reminded that it was a king that died for your sins. The blood which flowed at Calvary was royal blood. It tells us here in this verse that the purple covering is that which covers the chariot. It's that which covers the bed. So you imagine it, there's the pillars of silver going up, the gold base upon the bottom, and over the top, attached to all four of the pillars, you have this purple covering that's keeping in the shade, as it were, and keeping out the sun and all of the heat of the day, and it's there covering them. King died to cover your sins. Royal blood flowed at Calvary. Not just a thief or criminal. Not just a normal man, a king, was nailed to the cross. A king's head was pierced with thorns. A king's back was opened. A king's hands and feet were nailed. A king's side was pierced. We have that canopy over us today of his blood. Canopy that protects us from the attacks of the evil one. Revelation makes it clear we will only ever overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. That canopy which covers us, that canopy which keeps us safe. If we're underneath the blood, we're saved. If we're underneath the blood, we're safe. What a picture that is to all that are around us. What a picture that is to the world. We are in Christ. We are with Christ. The majesty, the splendor of his salvation is upon us. In salvation, this is a reality. God held nothing back. To save guilty, hell-deserving sinners such as you and I, God held nothing back. God the Father gave His only begotten Son. God the Son gave His life and shed His blood. And you today who are saved, you're surrounded, you're covered with the power, with the salvation, with the love of Jesus Christ. All of His attributes. His Spirit infills you and indwells you, ensuring that there's nothing will ever separate you. You think of it in the physical terms of Song of Solomon. A Shulamite bride. A woman who had lived a life of hardship, poverty. Sent out by her family to work in the vineyard, and she failed at that. She couldn't even make the grapes to grow. She couldn't even keep the foxes out of her own vine. Yet the king set his love upon her. The king brought her out of the wilderness. The king brought her unto himself, and for all of the world to see, she rides in a chariot with him, surrounded by gold and silver, all of the canopies of regalness. What a picture of the sinner in salvation. What a picture today, child of God, of where you have been brought from and where you are brought to. You're brought to Christ to dwell with Him, to commune with Him, with all of the splendor of His salvation and all of the power of the Godhead, under the protection of the King. He's a resting King, He's a resplendent King. Thirdly and finally, I want you to see the verse 11. He's a reigning king. The verse says, "Go forth, ye daughters of Zion. Behold, King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him." Go forth and see the king. The king has a crown upon his head. The king is seated upon a throne. He reigns and he rules. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. May you think of the Lord's life upon this earth. Just pause for a moment and think what Christ endured upon this land and upon this world upon which He walked. How many of the religious dishonored Him. How many accused Him of lies. How many accused Him of blasphemy. How many accused Him even of being the son of Belial. Many accused Him of saying the false words and leading the people astray and causing uprisings as if He was a radical. You think of the ridicule of Herod and his courtiers as they set the Lord at naught, as they made fun of Him and mocked Him. They put the crown of thorns and the Roman soldiers upon His head. They put those clothes upon His back and they smote Him and they pierced Him. Is that beholding a king? And they took Him out aside the city wall. And they crucified Him. And the superscription above His head, "This is the King of the Jews." But my friend, today that humiliation's over. Now He is exalted. Now He reigns. The cry goes out. Psalm 97, verse 1. "The Lord reigneth." Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Verse 6, the heavens, his righteousness, all the people see his glory. Verse 9, for thou, Lord, art high above all the earth, thou exalted far above all. Behold your king. He rests. He is resplendent. But he reigns forever. Let me ask the question as we close. Is he your king? Have you confessed him as Lord over all your life? You said those words, King of my life, crown thee now. No king but Christ. No ruler but God. See, if the king doesn't have your life and your heart, if he doesn't have your all, then he is nothing. Daughters of Jerusalem gathered together. To them they cried, "Behold, King Solomon." Today we say, in faith, behold your King. Behold the Lord Jesus Christ. Young and old alike, let me encourage you, make sure King Jesus is King of your heart. Make sure he reigns and he rules. Turn away from the world. Turn away from sin. Come to the cross. Give your life to him. Give him your heart. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence. We thank thee and we praise thee for the King of Kings. We thank thee, O God, today that Jesus is alive. He reigns and he rules. We thank thee for that glorious truth of the sovereignty of God. We thank thee, O God, each one that is saved, that thou hast brought us unto thyself out of the wilderness of sin. We thank thee for that union with Christ and that sweet communion with thee. God, we pray for each one that hears thy word, that thou wilt minister to hearts, lift up thy people, save the lost. Oh, that this day will be a day when man and woman, boys and girls, turn from the world and confess Christ as Lord. Separate us now with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. Bring us again tonight, we pray thee. Bless in every aspect of this meeting tonight. We leave it with thee. In Jesus' name. Amen.